For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
You notice this entire social media, big tech censorship thing is almost getting too fast and too ever-changing to almost keep up with.
Oh, yeah.
At this point.
It's been that way for a while.
Yeah. I mean,
at least it feels that way to me.
Since Elon Musk took over.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm racing to try to keep up with it. You know, that's how big and how fast things are changing. So we're going to get the updates on that. We're going to get the updates on that around 6:35. I think we'll do that. 6:20. Obviously, the biggest news in the country right now is that the Democrats held on to the seat in Georgia for the U.S. Senate. We've already talked about, you know, what went wrong. We talked about what went wrong before it actually went wrong, because we knew, we saw what was happening here. And the race, to be fair, was a little bit closer than I thought it was going to be. But the question now is, what does this actually mean when it comes to how this is going to affect our lives? And we'll talk about that around 6:20. 6:07 right now. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here and got Ken Williams here. Oh, and 6:50, you know that old song, you guys are singers and I'm not. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes. It's a great song.
Have at it.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
But could it be the most dangerous time of the year?
It could be.
Oh.
Hit it.
It's the most dangerous time of the year.
We'll talk about that at 6:50. Man, we didn't even plan that. That was great. All right, let's
gotta
see here. conservative Christmas giveaways are going on right now. We have given away a plethora of prizes, and we're going to do it again in the 8 o'clock hour here, and then Vic's going to do it, and then Tony's going to do it, then Chris and Tim are going to do it. And if you want a shot at these prizes, then just go to newstalkstl.com and register. We're just drawing names out of the hat, and you can win, among other things. We're going to give away a whole bunch of NewstalkSTL t-shirts, but you can win ticket vouchers for all kinds of great stuff and gift certificates for all kinds of great stuff. And we're just saying thank you for our second Christmas.
And it's the conservative Christmas presents that we're giving
That's
away.
Right.
Yeah. They're just a bunch of presents.
Yeah.
That's why I look.
Yeah, precisely. So we'll do that. I was surprised last night. I'm checking the news before I go to bed, and turns out that the federal judge, woo, man, did he whack the former, not like in a mafia sense, but did he smack the former alderman in St. Louis City? They got some serious sentences.
Yeah.
Absolute smackdown.
Ooh,
kind
wow.
of awesome.
Man, it really was.
kind of.
Refreshing, I call it.
Yes,
refreshing. That's the word.
Well,
that is a good word.
It is a good word, because I think everybody just kind of assumed, you know what? They're political elites. They were caught red-handed. We know the feds got them, but let's be honest. You know, this current federal administration and the DOJ, we know the problems with it. We tend to protect the elites even when they fall. So I really wasn't expecting much. I really wasn't, but here's what happened. So, guys, I'm just going to list off the actual sentences, and then let's get your reaction to it. So, former board president Lewis Reed, he was sentenced to 45 months in prison. 45.
That's pretty awesome.
Just shy of 4 years.
Hey. Yeah, over 3.5 years. Same sentence for John Collins Muhammad, the former alderman. They also have to pay back all of the bribe money that they took. Lewis Reed, that's going to mean over $18,000. Collins Muhammad is going to have to pay back over $19,000. Jeffrey Boyd got a sentence of 36 months, and he's going to have to pay back $23,000. And then there's some, you know, probation periods after that. Now, are they actually going to serve, you know, 45 and 36 months? No, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sentence time is usually a little less than or a little more than what they actually serve. You know, time served right. is usually, you know, it's a fraction of that.
You know, it's outside of the moral aspect of stealing and all that. Think about it. I mean, this should be a message to everybody. 20 grand and your job's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You're in jail.
Yep.
And you're going to have community service or probation and possibly community service for 7 years or something like that. Your life has been completely altered for $20,000 that you have to pay back, by the way.
Yeah, that you don't get to keep. Maybe he made some interest on that, so they'll probably let him keep the $18.
Maybe that.
There you go. No, he bought something stupid. That's what happened. And they're going to repossess that.
Yeah.
But that is the question, though. St. Louis, and this is not unique to St. Louis. Every major urban area, and St. Louis, you know, isn't, the city is not a major city anymore because it's lost so much population, but every big city has corruption. You know, it's just one of the absolute horrible things about politics in the United States, especially in deep blue run areas. So the question that Ken brought up during the news roundup and then just now is, does this send a message that will be received in the rest of City Hall? It sends a message. There's no question about that. Will it be heated?
Yeah. I think this needs to be considered kind of the opening salvo. It really needs to be the new precedent. The new precedent is, you know, if you're caught in a corruption scandal in the city of St. Louis, you're going down. You know, that kind of thing. It's like you're not getting away. You're not. And once that precedent is set, that's what eventually will change the culture. So the real test here is going to be, how long can we keep this level of accountability up in the city?
And Mike and I were talking about this morning. I just think that maybe there's something else here, you know, in the sentencing part of it. Someone, are they encouraging someone to come forward and say, look, there's more people involved here?
Oh, right. Yes. Reporters were talking to the federal prosecutors after the sentencing, obviously getting their quotes for their stories. And they said, okay, is the investigation closed now? No answer.
Really?
No answer.
See, I find that really interesting.
There we go. Okay, so this could be a leverage play, essentially. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, you flip on these guys, maybe this turns into a parole situation.
Well, yeah, and how many more are there out there, if any?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I took from it. Like I said, it wasn't what they said, it's what they refused to say. Because if they say, well, yeah, we just sentenced them, they're going to jail, that's moving on to the next case. But they wouldn't answer. They didn't say, well, no, we're still investigating them. They just, you know, not going to comment on it.
Yeah, this is what usually sends your brain down the police procedural movie or TV show lane. It's like, oh, they're trying to make these boys crack so they can give up the big fish, right? So it's like that. I like that kind of stuff. I really do. And I hope that's the case. I hope we find out that there's obviously there's more to it. There's always more to it. There's always a bigger fish kind of thing. But I hope we find out, because people are being frog marched out of their offices.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Oh, no. Now, I want to videotape.
Leaned. Is it occasionally when you're feeling down, you play it?
Yeah. Did you ever? Okay, so speaking of that, I'm going to admit that I'm guilty of that. There are a bunch of videos on YouTube of 2016 when Hillary Clinton lost.
Oh,
Trump won, and the people
downcast
crying
faces.
I have actually been, like, times where I was in a bad mood and I would play that just to cheer myself up.
Yes.
But anyway.
So
what,
true.
What I don't know for sure is when their sentences are going to start, because they weren't just, you know, taken off. They're given time to put their, like, affairs in order and get other people to, you know, pay their bills and whatever the case is.
That also reinforces what I was saying, because maybe they wanted to give them time to stew about it a little bit also.
Yeah, he's like, hey, is there anything you might want to tell us before we remain in custody? I mean, just off the chest, you know.
Yeah. Well, and white collar crime, I mean, that's pretty typical. You've been sentenced, you've got to turn yourself in on this date to begin your sentence, and they negotiate that. Some are like, you know what, I'm showing up tomorrow, let me get this thing over with as soon as possible. You know, others will try to stay out there, but there's no appeal on this. They all pled guilty,
right?
There's not a matter. This isn't conviction. They admitted, and so this is the deal they got after admitting to what they did. So who knows what it could have been if they'd actually gone to trial and been convicted with the pictures and the video and the documents and everything alongside the whole case in there. But because you're going to have to. Well, I mean, they're going to give you time to, like, make sure your mortgage gets paid and who's going to be in charge and signing over power of attorney to a bunch of stuff. And, you know, having that tough conversation with the wife or the girlfriend or both, depending on your lifestyle.
Right, right.
You know, what's it going to be?
who gets the visits?
Yeah. Who gets the visits? And I'll just leave it at that. All right. Okay. So just ahead here, Raphael Warnock retains a seat in Georgia. You've heard that news. Let's talk about what that actually means to us, not just the political scoreboard in Georgia. What does that mean to all of us? We'll get that conversation going around 6:20 right here on 101.9 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, we keep learning more about the depth of the social media censorship in the news that we keep finding out more about. I would say it's in the news. It's on Twitter because Twitter's telling us what they did at this point. Thank you, Elon Musk. Now there's actual legal action being taken against the Biden administration about it. So not just we're going to have a hearing, we're going to have an investigation. There's actual legal action that's happening. We're going to talk about that around 6:35. 6:22 right now. Gabe Pfeiffer is here. Ken Williams is here. I have no idea what kind of brain fart I just stopped. I almost said Gabe Williams and Ken Pfeiffer. I have no idea how that happened.
Ken Pfeiffer.
I mean, once in a while that happens. You know, you ever like look at your since we all have daughters, like say something to your wife, but say your daughter's name vice versa.
Oh yeah, yeah. And my wife always calls my daughter what would she say? Your sister.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There you go. And I've mistakenly called my daughter my little sister's name. And it's usually when I'm frustrated and, you know, my brain goes back to when I was frustrated. But, you know what I mean? I think there's a brain thing that happens there. It's just interesting. So basically we're a unit.
Or just really, really, yeah, pretty much.
In your brain, we're a unit.
Or like I was really.
The show, folks.
Yeah. I was really, really, really tired once and I brain malfunctioned so bad. It wasn't that I mixed up Rachel and Amber, my wife and my daughter, respectively. It's that I actually said Rosie once.
Oh. Oh, the cat.
Rosie's the cat.
I think you're going to say Rammer.
Yeah.
Rammer.
Jeez. All right.
Unit.
Okay.
Ladies I love.
Right.
See?
Oh, jeez. All right. Okay. So on to not quite as brainless stuff. Let's talk about politics.
Okay.
And elections and voters. Democrats hold on to the U.S. Senate seat in Georgia. You probably heard that news already, meaning that they actually pick up one seat overall. So remember, it was a 50-50 tie going into the midterms, and now the Democrats have actually picked one up.
Yep.
They've also picked up one, if you look at the governor's races, the Democrats actually have one more now than they did before the midterms. That's the first time that's happened since 1934.
This is wild to me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we talk about how, you know, historically, in the midterms, whoever the sitting president is, whatever party they're in, they take major losses in other areas of government because people are kind of like, you know what, I don't like the job you're doing. Let's flip the script and mess with you, essentially. That's kind of what the American public has usually done for basically our entire history.
Yeah.
And now, in I think one of the worst situations, one of the clearest indicators that the people in charge were messing it all up, we have them pick up a governorship and a Senate seat.
Yeah.
That makes no sense whatsoever. And the only thing I can think of is absolute incompetence in the party that should have been the winners here.
Yes, there is some of that, but I will also argue that we really have had that much of a shift in values and character and mindset generationally. Mm-hmm. I really do think the youngest couple of generations have simply shifted that far. And so the challenge is even more to reach them. The reality is that, like, I'm thinking, looking at the midterms as what do we do, for instance, a media outlet like this? You know, what's our job? Is our job just to sit there and complain and throw a fit every time my administration does something terrible? Yeah, sort of. But I think that we also need to be part of reaching out to those who have abandoned the values that built the country, because there are a lot of people who have simply said, I don't care how bad you are, I'm on board.
And if you're correct about that, Mike, that pendulum has to swing real far before it changes back, because these people that did vote to the left this time, the younger people, they aren't going to just vote right. They need to be shown. They need to see really what they did before they go to vote another way, and that's going to take a while.
It is going to take a while, and one of the interesting things is that the conservatives who pushed back and fought the culture war in the smart way actually won.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you've got your DeSantis's, you got your
Rand Paul's,
you got
Mike Lee,
your Eric Schmidt's. Uh-huh. You know, these are the guys who made the culture war like part of their platform. And they said, okay, all of the actions that I'm taking right now are going to be to push back in these areas where the left has taken over territory in the culture. Mm-hmm. And they all won.
Yeah.
I think there's a reason for that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So all hope is not lost. But as we move in between now and the next elections and the legislative session and the congressional work that's being done, what we're not going to do is just throw a hissy fit every time that the left does something. We're going to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to keep pointing out, you know, how destructive they are. But we're also going to do a lot of focus on, all right, here's how you go into work. Here's how you go to your, you know, holiday things. Here's how you go to your kids' Little League game when there's a bunch of people who are wrong, and how we start winning these votes back one at a time, because that's what it's going to take. So a more of an informative and I think hopefully empowering from a conservative lens is kind of the direction I'm going to start taking this show, I think.
Okay, that sounds good, because what it seems like is you know, you ever play in a sports league and it feels the other team is cheating, the ref's not calling it, you're just like, what, you know, you're kind of demoralized at halftime. It's like, what the heck? And coach is like, well, you just have to outperform them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to perform so well that their cheating becomes meaningless.
Right.
You know, like that's all you can do. You can't stop them from cheating.
Where
at
did
this
you
point.
Get that analogy?
Life.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I remember being in one of those games where it's just like the coach, you know, they're cheating and the ref's not calling it. And right. it feels really easy to just kind of throw up your hands and just complain the whole way,
yeah,
and take the L.
Right.
As opposed to, no, you buckle down and you beat the crap out of them so badly that their cheating means nothing.
Yeah. I'm not going to stop complaining about this stuff, but we're going to do it constructively.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, let's talk about real quick the political aspect of what this means. The difference between 50-50 with the vice president on your side and 51-49.
Mm.
Like I said before, that's actually significant.
It's a big deal.
Brett Baer was doing coverage last night on the election, and he pointed out, I think this was a really good thing, very, very poignant thing, important thing that he pointed out.
It means that the Senate becomes Democratic control, which it was at 50-50, but now it's 51-49, meaning that the committees will have one more Democratic seat on them. It will be easier for Democrats to push through the Biden agenda, to push through judges and seats that are open, and it gives a little breathing room for Democrats when it comes to policy in the United States Senate. It also takes the pressure off and the power away from Democratic senators like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema.
So here's my question. Very narrow majority in the House, very narrow Democratic majority in the Senate. Does this mean that stalling or stopping the Biden administration and the hard left radicals in the Democratic Party, does that mean that stopping them in the House is the best we can hope for in 2023 and 2024?
I think that's all we got.
Yeah, right now, yeah. The biggest thing that concerns me of what he said is the whole getting nominations of judges.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a huge thing.
When you are voting for Senate and you're voting for president, that is part of what you're voting for.
Yeah, you're shaping the judicial system, you know, mm-hmm. top to bottom, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, federal level judges aren't just, we're not just talking about the Supreme Court. We're talking about many, many lower courts as well.
Yep.
Those appellate courts and all those lower court rulings, those things shape society just as much.
And the prosecutors.
And the prosecutor. That's right. And the prosecuting attorneys. Yeah. They're making decisions that have impacts directly on your life.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the House can't do anything about the judges. That's all in the Senate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that may be the best we can do. Okay. So just ahead here, speaking of the COVID fear-mongering era and the social media censorship, there's actual legal action being taken against Fauci, the Biden administration. I'm glad to see somebody on offense. I've got the update for you around 6:35 right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
We kind of got organically into a conversation yesterday about law enforcement, and the pension question came up, and recruiting officers and defund the police and all of that sort of thing. Turns out that Gary Wiegert, who was the former president of the St. Louis Police Officers Association, was listening, and he reached out to me. And I've run into Gary at conservative stuff before. And so we're going to talk to him at 7:05 and actually fill in some answers with some of those conversations we're having yesterday, because this affects St. Louis City in a huge way. Also, St. Louis City, which actually is in the process of hiring a new police chief.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay. As well. They actually had a public forum last night with the four finalists, where people could just question them and that sort of thing. And that's all happening at the same time that the state of Missouri is considering, through the legislature, retaking control of the St. Louis Police Department at the state level as well. So there's a lot going on. So that conversation is going to happen at 7:05. It is 6:37 right now. I'm Mike. That's Gabe. That's Ken. Okay, so the social media censorship situation. There's a difference between beating the dead horse. First of all, it's not dead. It's still there.
Oh, yeah.
But secondly, between just going over and over and over, like I said, about what's happened and getting angry about it, or there's doing something about it and knowing how to leverage this into fixing the problem. So the Twitter censorship story is not stopping with the Biden campaign, emphasis on campaign, pressure to suppress news and opinions. There's now legal action being taken over the Biden administration, present tense, actions to do that during the COVID fear-mongering era.
There you go.
Most of the fear-mongering era is over, but there still is some fear-mongering era going on right now.
There's a lot of threat going on.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. The CDC is now starting to say, you know what, we got this flu and RSV, and you may have to start masking up again. I mean, watch out. I'm telling you, watch out. Some of these mandates could very well be coming. There are still places around St. Louis that still have those stupid mask mandates.
Yeah, believe it or not. You've got a lot of people walking around with masks.
I saw one yesterday.
Oh, I saw a whole bunch of them.
I saw a lady in her car by herself with a mask on.
Still.
Just drive through my neighborhood. I looked up. I was like, oh, no, not now.
I saw one walking by herself on the sidewalk.
I was a Target, and this little old lady, man, I felt so sorry for her. She was all masked up really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she was at the other end of the aisle, and I coughed. I've got the cough thing still.
Oh, yeah, the little.
Completely, just a cough.
Mm-hmm.
And sinus-based. She looked at me, turned around, and bolted. I mean, she was out of there.
She was done.
She is broken, man.
Broken. That's the word I was about to say. There are so many people who have been broken.
That's it.
By this. It's cold and flu season.
Yeah. You've been through dozens of them.
We've survived it for 250 some odd years and oh my goodness. But back to the fear-mongering and the censorship and everything that went with it,
mm-hmm.
Twitter now firing another company official, high-ranking company official, for what many are saying is playing a role in suppressing the Hunter Biden laptop story in particular.
Okay.
So we're going back to the campaign. Elon Musk is still dealing with the administration post-election. But this happened just within the last 24, 36 hours. Fox News's Brooke Singman actually has the story to bring us up to date on what that's all about. This is interesting.
CEO Elon Musk is cleaning house, firing a key player in the Hunter Biden laptop censorship scandal, tweeting, in light of concerns about James Baker's possible role in suppression of information important to the public dialogue, he was exited from Twitter. A user replying to that tweet asking, was he asked to explain himself first? To which Musk responded, quote, yes, and his explanation was unconvincing. Congressman James Comer is interested in that explanation. He called on Baker and two other former Twitter heads involved in suppressing the 2020 Hunter Biden laptop story to appear before Congress, writing, quote, the American people deserve to know why Twitter took down the Hunter Biden laptop story, even when your colleagues were questioning the rationale for suppressing the story.
I love he was exited.
He was exited, yeah. You know, my biggest concern about this whole thing, and they're going to go into, I'm sure, investigations in the House as soon as January hits. My biggest concern is that there's going to be so much information, so many different things, so many different people involved that the public is going to generally get lost in it.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah.
That, honestly, that's a tactic.
Yeah, that's true. Because I've seen that happen before. I can't exactly put my finger on exactly what the topic was, but you can overwhelm the public with so much information that they just check out, mm-hmm. and they're just like, you know what, I'm going to move on to something else. Let's talk about Wednesday Addams series on Netflix or whatever.
What was it? Which we were just Taibbi is his name. Taibbi. Matt
Taibbi. Yeah.
Yeah. When he put out all that information originally, you know, I read through it. It was, I think, 40 posts or something like that at once, mm-hmm. the initial one. And it was a lot. I mean, mm-hmm. I got through it, but I don't think the general public is going to go through all that stuff, especially if they have multiple things like that.
They're going to look for the summaries.
Yes.
Yes.
They're going to find their favorite news outlet, and they're going to go say, okay, what's your summary of it? That's exactly what.
Which may be why none of this appeared on the major news sites immediately after, when you think the iron was hot and people would be striking. You didn't get one summary from a journalist on any of the big sites. It wasn't on their front page or anything.
And they'll tell you that they covered it because they covered reaction to it, and they will mention that it happened, mm-hmm. but there was almost no coverage of these documents that were published out over something that major. It's remarkable. I mean that in the connotative way.
The most I saw was reactions was reactions from journalists on Twitter, just basically doing the conservatives pounce thing. You know, mm-hmm. you ever see that where basically if something comes out about the left and conservatives are talking about it, the story becomes the conservatives' reaction to it and how out of bounds it is.
Well, how about Matt Taibbi, I can't for some reason remember his name. Mm-hmm. He became the lawyer for the richest man in the world.
Oh yeah, the PR firm.
PR firm.
Yeah, Brennan, PR man. That's for the right, richest that's man. Right. Yeah. Look up that phrase on Twitter. Just do a little search. PR for the and richest man. And those two phrases together, and you will see a myriad of journalists echoing the same sentiment. It's weird. It's almost like there's kind of a hive mind of leftist journalists out there.
There are like 15 of the major outlets that posted tweets that included that exact mm-hmm. phrase.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Funny part is Taibbi's not even a conservative.
No.
No. He was beloved by the left.
He's a center-left guy. He's not even a conservative.
Yep. Oh, then there were the, how far Taibbi has fallen posts.
Yeah.
You caught those too?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, I bet you his reach on his social media is reaching farther than yours media outlet. Okay, so then you look at that. That's about the Hunter Biden stuff. Now let's go back to the COVID era stuff.
Yes, yes.
You know, the fear-mongering era stuff.
The administration malfeasance stuff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. This is a whole different thing. So Eric Schmidt, obviously soon to be Senator Eric Schmidt, still Attorney General Eric Schmidt, he was part of the deposition of Anthony Fauci recently.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Jesse Waters primetime last night talking about that. And basically at the center of all of this is Fauci. And he, you know, Eric Schmidt's actually released the transcript. Talk about overwhelming. It's like 350 to 400 pages of transcripts that he has just completely released. And he was on with Waters last night, like I said, talking about it.
This guy was the high priest of COVID tyranny. And when they were sending out those smoke signals to carry out his orders, people were censored and lives and livelihoods were ruined. I mean, it's a disgrace.
And Eric Schmidt went on to say that Fauci said that he could not recall the answers to questions 174 times during the deposition.
Huh.
Wow. See, that's somebody who's completely out of touch with their lying. High priest of COVID tyranny. I like that.
I represent science.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
I'm sorry, Gabe.
I
represent science.
Thank you.
There it is.
So here's the thing, though, is as you look at rumblings by elitists and authoritarians around the country to start wanting to bring stuff up. They're trying to scare people again. Look up the word triple-demic and see how it's being used in your local media.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, cold and flu season. And now the COVID virus is mutated into something that might be a cold, or you might mistake it for an allergy that you take an antihistamine for. But look at how that is. The groundwork is being laid to try to bring that kind of control back. And hopefully we preempt that with enough people, conservative, liberal, in the middle, everywhere else saying, absolutely not. Don't even think about it.
I will not comply.
No.
Yes. And I will not come. Yeah. Hell yes.
Absolutely.
I will not comply without a doubt about that. So that's why it matters. That's why it's important. That's what we do with the actual information here. All right. Just ahead here. Is it the most wonderful time of the year or the most dangerous? I'm going to do some fear-mongering myself.
Yay.
Holiday fear-mongering. Holiday fear-mongering just ahead right here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Okay, since fear-mongering is like the thing to do, I want to do a little holiday fear-mongering in just a moment here.
Yay.
Okay. 651. By the way, those of you who live in more of the southern part of the Newstalk STL listening area, which I guess, Ken, would be you because you're in South County.
Yeah.
As well, I want to congratulate you.
How? Fine, why?
if you weren't already, you're now an earthquake survivor. Did you know that?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
What? I didn't feel it, but I heard about it this morning.
Just out of Kimswick, that was the epicenter of a 1.6 earthquake.
Oh, 1.6.
Magnitude. Yeah, which that basically 1.6, I think, is what happens when an 18-wheeler drives by your house.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, right. So that's why I didn't feel it.
That's why you didn't feel it. So a lot of South County and some South City, south of the metro, reported feeling it, which basically was like, what was that? Like quiver that rattling for a second.
Did you feel that?
So for those of you in the southern part of the Newstalk STL community, congratulations, you have survived an earthquake.
Okay. Yeah, I hope it doesn't get any worse because I tried to get earthquake insurance and you can't hardly get it anymore.
Oh no, no, they don't like that stuff.
No.
I mean it's basically a free premiums for the company, but in that off chance that something right. actually happens,
those are big numbers.
They're losing everything on there. By the way, that 1.6 shaker happened around at 8:35 last night. Just in case you're wondering.
Oh,
okay. So, well, there you go.
There you go. There you have it. Okay. Are the holidays dangerous?
Yes.
So there was this survey that was done, and like 30% of people have reported suffering some kind of holiday-related injury.
Really?
30%.
Like, do they have like examples?
Yes, exactly.
All right, holiday-related injuries.
Have you ever experienced a holiday-related injury?
Yes. You know, I get on the roof of my house.
That's what it is.
But I don't think I've ever gotten hurt from it, though. I've been lucky, I guess.
Now, I just have various strains and things like that from lifting or reaching. Or, you know, like I come out sore or something. Nothing like an injury. Like, I haven't fallen off a ladder yet, God forbid. Exactly. Yeah, I can't think of a real injury. I might have gotten zapped once messing with my electrical
thing. Checking the lights. That's happened to me.
You know, one of those.
Okay, so what do you think would be the most common holiday activity injury?
Falling off the ladder.
Okay.
Yeah, just falls, basically.
I would
say that. Yeah.
That made the list, but it's way at the bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
So, well, I want to hear what the other ones are now.
So of those who reported having some kind of injury, only 4% said that it was because of falling off a ladder.
Is it fire damage from trying to deep fry a turkey?
Well, sort of. 10% said that they were hurt cooking.
Cooking injuries.
Which would include that.
Okay.
Like burns and things like that.
Right.
Okay, people
right,
do that.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah. 6% said that they've been burned by a candle.
Really?
I don't know. You almost have to go out of your way to do that.
Yeah, put your hand over it.
I don't know how you do that.
I'm going to be like the cool guy in the movie and just, you know, take my thumb and index finger and turn it off that way.
Or just holding a candle without something over your hand to keep the wax from getting at you. I mean, are they doing that kind of garbage?
I don't know. It's the only way you'd get hurt.
How do you get hurt with a candle?
Yeah.
It's fire, guys. Be careful.
Right. Yeah, don't put your hand over it.
don't touch the fire.
Let's see here. 11% say they've just slipped or tripped over something outdoors. I don't know if that's a holiday-related injury or you're just clumsy.
Well, it could be that, you know, all of the things outdoors include all of those long green extension cords for all of your lawn ornaments, like what I had going on in my front yard.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful there.
4% were hurt while standing on furniture while putting up decor. And 3% were injured while putting up decorations or lights on the roof.
Yep, that's, those are the falls.
Last weekend, Rachel wanted me to put up the garland. You guys know that front porch I've got right there, the brick there. She wanted the garland put up there, so that's
kinda
my job.
Kind of drape the cross.
Kind of drape it down. Mm-hmm. And I had to climb up on that brick, wall on the front of it there.
Oh.
So I'm getting this done. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, this could be bad if I lost my balance on something.
Yeah, you could roll down your front yard and get lost.
That's right. Yes. I got a very steep front yard.
I was thinking about it. I was like, wait a minute. Just getting up on... Everybody else is thinking, okay, a wall in your front porch, what's the big deal? You're barely a few feet off the ground.
Not in my house.
Mike's hill rolls straight down, basically, from that wall. So when he gets up on that wall, he's a good, 15 feet on the ground.
Yeah, I mean,
like, if you fell back, you're not falling straight down, you're falling down the hill.
I would, because I would fall, and there's that mulch area with the plants. I mean, I would say, because down to the street, it's more than 15.
Yeah,
but from that down to where the sidewalk is in front of it, that's probably 5-6 feet straight down right there at the bottom of it.
I think that's more.
You could get hurt.
Oh yeah. But the most common holiday injury. This is so weird to me.
Most common. All right.
13% cut themselves while wrapping or opening presents.
Paper cuts.
Big time.
I forgot about that.
You know what?
Injury.
That is, there's something about that, though. I mean, I've been cut by cardboard. Have you ever gotten a cardboard cut?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Does that count as an injury, though?
Well, sure.
Well, a cardboard cut, but a paper cut, I mean, they said cut.
I mean,
technically, it's an injury.
I'm thinking, did they get out the X-Acto knife to open the box and cut through the packing tape and go crazy on it?
I would say is that in there?
It doesn't. It just says opening, wrapping or opening.
Okay.
So I'm thinking scissors to cut the stuff.
Yeah, maybe. I guess if you bleed, that's an injury.
Yeah.
Right? Because a ton of us just get paper cuts that are just basically, it's skin deep, and you look at it that's going to sting. It's going to be a little flap of skin that's going to annoy me when I pick up things. Right. That's pretty much it for most paper cuts. But some of these paper cuts, though, I mean, you're just like, well, I need stitches.
You put the hand sanitizer on, you're like, ow, dang it. Oh, I've got a paper cut.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what's not going to surprise you. Of those who reported injuries, 12% of them said they were intoxicated at the time.
Oh, really?
Okay. Well, that changes the texture of this list.
So remember, it's the most dangerous time of the year.
Right.
Be careful, folks. We want you back in 2023, so don't suffer a fatal holiday mishap or something.
Wrapping paper.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.